Hello, welcome to the TT Podcast. Chris Pritchard here, fresh after an amazing night at the Road to 2024 launch event over on the Isle of Man. Back home now though, and between me and you listeners, I royally screwed up the intro to the launch event. Not that anyone will realise that because the editors did such a great job. However, boy did I screw up. So, went on stage, intro'd the event, said hello, welcome to Road to TT 2024. And then my next line was about how we're going to have a great evening and we're going to speak to a few riders from the TT. But at that moment, my podcast brain just switched on. We're going to be speaking to a few riders from the TT to discuss their lives, their journeys. And then I caught myself halfway through. I'm like, what am I doing? I said I've gone into TT podcast spiel in front of 700 people and various different cameras. Oh, but luckily, due to some great editing, no one noticed a thing. Anyway, this week we have another Road to TT 2024 episode for you as we continue the countdown to the start of the greatest motorsporting event in the world. And it's just over 5 weeks now before bikes set off down Glen Crutchery Road for qualifying. Cannot wait. In this episode, we're going to hear more from my chat with Steve and Grace after the launch event. I take a look around the world famous Wall of, well, it's called the Wall of Fame, but I think it really should be called the Wall of Shame, at the famous Craignabar pub, and it includes some familiar faces, some iconic motorcyclists. And I'll take a look back at some of the latest news from the world of the TT. Oh, and we're going to pick up with Peter Higman in the car as I had a chat with him on the way to Noah's Bakehouse for a quick coffee and a bite to eat. Roll titles! Beyond these aliens that we seem to be talking about, and they seem to be a step above everyone else, I think it's fair to say. So beyond those, we had Josh on the stage, we had Davey on the stage, and I introduced them as two people who are more than capable of potentially mixing it up with these three. Josh, I think, is going to have his best TT he's ever had. I think he's quite confident, that guy.
He is, but I also think he always says to me, I'm a realist. I was actually on track with him not that long ago and it was raining. And I'm like, it will come sunny though. It will get better. And Josh is like, nah, no, it won't. And I'm like, that's it, Josh, an optimist. And he's like, no, I'm a realist. And even his response on stage to, you know, you've got your first podium now, Josh, so surely it's a matter of time till you get your first win. And he was a bit like, I want to be real with myself. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. So, you know, I like that he is real and true to what he thinks he's able to achieve. But I also think there's a lot more people that believe in him a lot more. There's so many riders I've heard compliment him as a classy, capable, smooth rider. And I think there's a lot of people, like I say, that know it's only a matter of time until he gets that first win.
Double British Superbike champion. So your first World Superbike rider as well at some point. You kind of look at him and think he is a short circuit rider, but last year he looked like an out and out road rider, didn't he?
He knows what he's doing.
He does.
He knows what he's doing. And a lot of other riders out there also know he knows what he's doing and to look out for him. You know, like he said, he had a couple of years off and this was the first time back. And I truly think he was happy with his performance last year. So surely he's just going to build on that this year. I think we're going to see some great things from him.
Yeah, so you're saying that he knows that we know, and we know that they know that he knows that we know that he knows that they know that he is capable. Is that
what
you're
saying? No, I'm saying.
And then quick one on David Todd. David Todd, I've got a little man crush on David Todd. That's no secret. I love the guy. He's, you know, I've taught him a few things when it comes to supermoto riding, but on a BMW, not necessarily under Steve Plater's wing when he comes to the Isle of Man, but certainly under Steve Plater's wing when he's at the short circuits. Do you think Steve will point him in the right direction? Do you think Steve will tell him, oi, no more wheelies, no more stoppies, flip your neck, just ride the bike?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to ask Steve that. But I definitely sensed more of an air of seriousness about him on the stage. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Because when I asked him, like, you know, you just want to enjoy your riding, he sort of said, well, yeah, but that's kind of not really the first thought, whereas it probably was last year. So, yeah, I think he means business, especially after an extremely positive BSB test for him. He's already getting good results. We know the bike's capable. He spoke really positively and passionately. He's excited for this. Another one that is going to be in the mix. So much so, when he was speaking, like I said, I was like, this needs to turn to the big four if it's anything to do with Davey. He was that confident.
100p. Let's bring Steve in real quick then, because Steve's still here. Steve, have you given a rap on the knuckles? Have you said, oi, pipe down, boy?
No.
I think he might have.
No, I haven't.
Politely.
Yeah, Davey's a good boy, you know, and I think realistically, last year, he was coming off the back of having his confidence smashed, so he didn't get a fair crack of the whip. He rode a super bike the last three rounds and rode okay, but nothing too elaborate. But he was still kind of suffering from the year where he'd been, and he hadn't ridden very much all year as well. We've sent him off this winter. He's had a practice bike. He's been in Spain all winter on his off-roaders, on his supermoto, on his practice bike, doing loads of training as well. And he's just pumped. He's happy. He's come to Donington Park. He's peaking. He knows he's got to step up. You know, it's quite obvious. He wants to step up, obviously, and he's talking the right language now. You know, it's not just about... Davey's been one that I just want to race everywhere. Now, he wants to go and win everywhere. That's what I want to hear.
And anyone, before we finish here, Steve, anyone you want to point out that we spoke to today, or anyone that we...
For 2024? Really, yeah, no, I think really it's wide open, you know, superbike-wise, it's wide open. Super Sport as well, we've got some new bikes. You know, obviously the Triumphs are there, they've got more. The talk of the town is the Triumphs are putting out 150 horsepower. You know, Hickey's doing a great job. He's the distributor for Triumph on the road race and the World Super Sport and British Super Sport, so... He's kind of the main man. He's building everybody's bikes. They're a great package. The Ducati that Dave is riding, that bike won the World Championship last year, World Supersport. It won the British Supersport. So that's a strong package. So to answer your question, you know, there's quite a few different variations. Obviously, Michael Dunlop, 130 mile an hour on a Supersport bike, is the favourite, realistically, running into 24 TT on Supersport. However, there's different bikes, different things happening, and there's other parties that are going to come to the table. Josh Brooks is riding an R6. He isn't going to be slow. You know, there's quite a few different people, and Hickey himself is obviously riding the Triumph. So it's looking really good. But to answer your question, let's say a standout, I'm going to say we're going to see a very much stronger Dean Harrison.
Let's wrap it up there. Steve, it's an absolute pleasure, as always.
Tip top.
Bang on. Grace, do you know what? Before we go, Grace, you need some catchphrases for this year's TT. Steve's got tip top, bang on. What else has he got? Anything else?
Flipping egg.
You need some catchphrases.
Oh, I might have to get back to you on that one.
You got what's go-tos?
Yours?
Probably that. Just a sigh. Right, we're going through to the Craignabar veranda suite. We're going upstairs to see this wall of shame. Here we go. I mean, the decor is very, very classic. I'll say classic, because I don't know how else to describe this. It will look out of place in my nan's house. In a good way. We've just walked into a room that's probably not supposed to be opened. Sorry, guys. See you later. Am I in here? Oh, I am. I am in here. We are in here. Sorry. So we just walked in on a meeting. Maybe they're playing Dungeons and Dragons. So this is it. This is the wall of shame. All right, here we are. Wall of shame. So for you listening, because you can't see, we've got various different pictures of various different famous people. Let's have a look who we've got. Kiefer Moore, Philip McCallan, Mick Grant, Guy Martin. I've just seen him somewhere. Milk is there. Foggy. Bruce Anstey. Gary Johnson. Who's the most famous out of these? Mick Doohan. and Steve Plater with his hand on his hip with a little bracelet on. Oh. Kevin Schwantz, there we go. Steve Plater and Kevin Schwantz with Randy Mamola. That, there we go. That's the most famous picture. Damon Hill. So you have had a fair few people up here. Neil Hodgson, Nicky Aiden, Jorge Lorenzo. Look at this. Again, a picture of Mick Doohan, John McGuinness, Nicky Aiden. You've had some famous people up here. That is pretty cool. Wow. Can't wait to get my photo added to this. Henners is shaking his head. The producer's saying I'm never going to get my photo. Right, let's go.
And I loved having a look around the Cregner Bar. The view from up on the veranda must be one of the best spots to watch the TT. I mean, it was entertaining watching Doris negotiate the corner heading up the mountain, but watching Peter Higman, Michael Dunlop, Dean Harrison coming down there full pelt into that right-hander. Oh my God, it'll be incredible. If you get a chance when you're over on the island this year, I would highly recommend it. Also, I thought I'd drop in a few updates from the past week. Firstly, if you weren't lucky enough to be at the launch event, you can actually go back and watch it over on TT Plus. So make sure you go and sign up. It's completely free and you'll get to see all the latest insight from all the riders at this year's TT launch. No Room for Error Season 2 is also coming in May and it is incredible. I'll be honest, I'm not sure if I was supposed to see it, but somehow I managed to see it. Definitely not the final version, but from what I saw, it did not disappoint. Dean Harrison's other half stole the show once again, and there's a fitting, wonderful tribute to Raul Torres Martinez. The paddock really won't be the same without him this year. However, we are going to get back to the podcast now, so here's our chat with Hickey, and Steve's going to talk us through one of the fastest sections of the TT course, one of his favourites. It is, of course, the Mountain Mile. Stay tuned for Steve's sector.
A few of the teams have been out riding already. That was our first test. That's the first time we'd even rolled out. Yeah, the bike's actually only got built the Thursday. So that was our first rollout was Saturday morning. The actual model is the same. However, the bike is different with what we've done to it. So
what you're allowed to,
the FHO racing team have adapted loads a little bit, so it's nothing major. In fact, the most major thing is because the rule changed the engine spec, so the engine spec's changed quite a lot from last year to this year, so it's completely different engine characteristic, but actually was probably better than what we thought it was going to be. So
is that to reduce cost, or
I don't actually know. My honest answer.
So what's it done? Is it slowed it up? Has it taken revs off?
Technically, yeah, it's slowed it up. It's giving it less power.
Right.
But to be honest, they've got that much horsepower. It doesn't make that much difference. You don't really use it that much.
Well, I suppose,
there's that much of it. It's kind of, a standard superstock bike has got over 210, 220 horsepower. There isn't that, once you go from there to 250, like percentage gain is actually not that much anyway.
It's marginal, isn't
it? Yeah, and you can't really use it all the time. It's only when you're getting 4th, 5th, 6th.
Yeah.
And on British circuits at least, there's not that many places where you're in 4th, 5th, and 6th anyway.
Are you in 6th on the back straight at Donington?
Nah, 5th.
5th?
Yeah, we don't even use Top Gear. So.
Right.
Bloody hell. So overall 6th, happy enough. And like half a second would have put me, less than half a second would have put me 2nd.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was fastest?
Kyle Ride.
Yeah, he seems to be going well. He's put some hours in as well, hasn't he, by the
looks? He's been riding a lot in Spain.
So do you use, is that test solely based on Superbike? You're not even, as in British Superbike, you're not even thinking about TT?
No, it's not TT related at all. Although, obviously, the bike's going to be the same bike.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, it doesn't really matter.
So at what point do you then think about TT? When you roll down Glen Crutchery Road,
when I finished Donington, pretty much.
They just loosen everything off a little bit and just go, right, head down and see what happens.
Pretty much, I get asked it quite a lot, like what preparation for the TT and stuff. But actually, to be honest, we don't really as such. I'm riding that much anyway that myself, I'm already prepped from a riding point of view. And from a bike point of view, well, I ride the same bike. The biggest difference is the tyres. Because in British Superbikes, we have to run Pirelli. And when it comes to the TT, obviously, we can run whatever we want. And my preference is Dunlop. So we put Dunlop tyres into it. That is really the only change to the bike. It's actually the same bike. So I ride here with no electronics, no rider aids, no traction control.
On the Superbike?
On the Superbike,
nothing?
Near zero,
Why?
Yeah, because that's what I'm used to. I ride it in BSB all the time.
Right, so a BSB, you can't, you're not allowed
to use it. No, not allowed to use it. Yeah. So even on the Stocker, when I ride the Stocker here, I turn it all off. So even though the Stocker actually has the capability of having all that, I just, there's a big yellow button on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And I just hit that button.
And it turns everything off.
Turns everything off, yeah. Which the BM engineers never like.
So if you raced, wait, if you raced BSB with traction control, anti-wheel, everything, could you go faster?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You'd be slightly faster and a little bit, you'll be more consistent and you'd make the tyre last longer.
Are you riding Northwest or not?
I am, but not with FHO. I'm doing it as PHR.
On a superbike?
No, I'm taking my own. So I have my own personal Superstock bike.
Right.
I'm going to ride in the winter.
Oh, sorry, but yeah, you're riding in the big class as opposed to.
Yeah, right. So I'm going to ride the Stocker in the stock race and the Superbike race stock as PHR.
Right.
And then got I've got my Supersport bike, which is the Trooper bike again.
Triumph.
With me and Pierre Bian.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. Monsieur.
Mange tu?
Mange tu, Rodney. and then I got my Super Twin. Which I've got a new sponsor for, which is going to be really cool, and nobody knows yet.
Give us an exclusive.
No.
Can we guess?
I mean, you can try, but I'm not going to let you know.
Only fans.
Maybe.
Is it?
No.
I've nailed it. Exclusive here. Exclusive here. Pete starting his own OnlyFans. I think you do pretty well.
Yeah, I might do. Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't subscribe to it. I'll be honest.
Well, I mean, if it's free.
I'm a Yorkshireman. I probably would. Free content.
If it's free content, I'm in. Don't care what it is.
It don't matter what it is. Well, that's interesting. And so it must be a nice sponsor. It must be a good sponsor.
Yeah, and something quite striking. And yeah, so the bike will be like really obvious.
Just give us a clue. You don't have to give it away. Give us a clue.
How can I give you a clue without giving it away? I feel like even if I told you the colour, you'd be like, oh, I know what that is.
So it's a bright colour.
Correct. There you go. That's your clue.
It's not Monster, because you're already sponsored by Monster.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Oh, that would be cool sponsor, right. Though.
Yeah.
As a... Oh.
Hello, here we go.
This is corporate telling me, don't answer the question.
Did you just mention you just something about... we heard it.
So running up the Mountain Mile, after Guthrie's, it kind of calms down to a certain degree. Obviously the speed doesn't, because you're absolutely flat pinned, wide open. And up this section, you know, I found it quite easy to learn and to get at home with, should I say. But, you know, your visual references are so far in front of you, you can hardly see them. They're just a tiny little blur in the distance. But obviously, you know, speed's your friend. So you need to keep that throttle pinned wide open in sixth gear. Just the same now. The bikes are obviously faster now than when I raced them. But it's the same idea. You're just kind of trying to keep as much momentum. Still climbing and still climbing very, very high all the way up this long, long section. Now, it's called the Mountain Mile for that reason, but do you know what? It's all about the last part. That's the most important part. And for me, that was the part you was always going to make a little bit of time. It's not about being the latest on the brakes when you get to the top of the hill, but your vision is so far in front. It's all the way along, long, long right-hander at the top of the hill. And I used to look at like a brown information sign. That was my marker. And as soon as you run through the bridge, and you're still flat on the throttle, peel into the next right, you've got like another walled section. Going to run through the last bridge here. I used to keep the throttle pinned all the way through that section, all the way now. We're heading towards the Mountain Box, then boom, off the throttle and back a gear. Then back another gear, and then into the left-hander at the top, heading into the Mountain Box. It's a real tough section, especially at the top here. It's kind of a double apex left-hander. You're trying to carry as much momentum through the Mountain Box as you can, because you're still climbing. So it's all about carrying that momentum all the way through, getting on the throttle as early as you possibly can, using the full width of the circuit, and just keep pushing as hard as you can.
I think we'll end the podcast there. That's it from this episode of the TT Podcast. If you've enjoyed it, make sure you leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening to them. Hopefully you're enjoying this more off the cuff, slightly different take on the TT and the TT Podcast. We will get back to the scheduled TT Podcast, as you know it, where we'll be interviewing riders and various people from the TT. But hopefully you are enjoying these slightly different podcasts. Until next time, make sure you check out iomttracers.com for all the latest news and features. And if you want to catch us on the socials, we're at TTOfficial. That's it from me. If Steve was here now, he'd probably say something like, ha 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 ha.
Turns out he is still here. See you later, everyone.